verses 7 through 10. Make no mistake, God is not mocked. A person will harvest what they plant. Those who plant only for their own benefit will harvest devastation from their own selfishness. But those who plant for the benefit of the Spirit will harvest eternal life from the Spirit. Let's not get tired of doing good, because in time we'll have a harvest if we don't give up. So then let's work for the good of all whenever we have the opportunity, and especially for those in the household of faith. This is the gospel of our Lord. Amen. So, Julia asked me to present today on our mission work down in the Dominican Republic. As many of you know, we came back and went down in August of 2019. I know it's a little snowy this morning, so I thought I'd just start with a video, Keith, and let's see if it works, just to give you a bit of an image. If you back up a slide, there's no video. Maybe it was my PowerPoint that's causing the issues today. It is a big file. So what we would have seen there in that video was just a barrio, very similar to what we saw 7 or 8 years ago when we first went down. People getting water from public tap that's most likely full of parasites, not clean water. Kids spending their time in the streets, some clothes, some not. A community trying to lift themselves out of poverty and social issues, but doing it as a community. And so what I'm going to talk about today, and Keith's going to be my Vanna doing next slides. We'll see if this works. Some of the advancing of the slides may not have worked through the changing of PowerPoint to PowerChurch. So I'm going to talk a little bit about our team that went down, give you a little bit of information about the barrio or the neighborhood that we serve when we're there. Talk about how we serve, some changes we've seen and witnessed. Talk a little bit about a new program that we've initiated this summer that we're going to be working through the winter on for health and wellness. And then talk a little bit about 2020. So Keith, let's see what the next screen comes up with. So I know probably you're thinking I'm a little bit biased, but I think this is a pretty good looking group of people. We took 14 members down this year, 7 are youth. This is our 7th trip going down to the Dominican, and each year, probably anywhere from 50 to 60% of those traveling are youth. It's always been focused around taking our youth, letting them experience, weaving our community in with their community. We had 13 people who have been down there before, and 1 rookie this year, and we were associated with 5 churches, ourselves, the Church of Latter-day Saints here in Okotoks, 2 churches from Calgary, Central United Church and Varsity Bible Church, and we had a family of 3 from St. James Anglican in Ontario. Next, Keith. So the barrio. When we look at the barrio, go to the next screen, Keith. This is the Dominican Republic. It shares an island with the country of Haiti. The little red circle here is circling the city of La Vega. And 2 things to note about that. It's kind of pushed up against the central mountain range, and it's 2.5 hours from Puerto Plata, 6 or 7 hours from Romania, and even farther from Punta Cana if you've been to those resorts where the airports are. So being that far, there is no tourism in La Vega. The little circle you see around the community now is Maria Auxiliadora. It's about 14 square blocks. But in those 14 square blocks are over 3,000 families and 13,000 people. So you can see from this aerial view, it's quite living on top of each other, sharing common walls, tin roofs. And when you add into that tight of a community of space, social issues, and poverty, it really adds to the fact that they're trying to pull themselves out of a situation that nobody would have wanted. This shows you a little picture where the school is. It's sort of the center of the community in the red circle. And then there's the basketball court and the baseball field. Next, Keith. So how do we serve when we go down to the Dominican? Next, Keith. First of all, the schools. We always try to make sure that the school's in session when we're there, even when we go in the end of the summer. This year, we spent time with the kids making sure that we fed them lunch and breakfast. Then we split into groups of seven, and we went to each of the classrooms where we did a craft with them. The craft that we did this year was a dream catcher. So we were able to tell a bit of a story about the indigenous people of our country and walk them through building the dream capture. Gives us a chance to intermingle with the kids, practice our very poor Spanish, and get to know them as we go through their classrooms. Next, Keith. We also like to sponsor youth activities outside of the school. This is Obed. He's a missionary from Colombia, and he loves soccer, and he started a soccer program about 10 years ago with the kids from the barrio to keep them from getting involved in the parts of the streets we don't want them involved in. And we've partnered all along with uniforms, balls, and now we've got to the point where there's both a girls program and a boys program, and they have actual uniforms. So when they play other leagues and clubs, they don't look like the poor kids from the barrio Maria Auxiliadora. This year, we were able to sponsor a tournament right on the Tier Center where they brought in some teams and we were able to play a series of five games. Usually in these tournaments, the winning team gets a piece of paper or maybe a very cheap medal, but one of our traveling members found some medals from the Tim Hortons that somebody was donating. So you should have seen the kids' faces when all 100 of the kids participating in the tournament got their own medal. It was quite great to be there. Other activity we started last year is karate. So the principal called and said, hey, they're starting a karate program. So if we can bring any supplies down, because they're virtually doing their practicing in their street clothes or maybe some gym clothes, they would go into some tournaments and everybody else would have their karate uniforms and they didn't. So we partnered with a karate club here in Okotoks who sponsored 100 new uniforms, and ever since they've been involved in the karate program. The really neat thing about this program is that probably 70 to 75% of the participants are girls, and they're able to learn about respect for the opponent and what it takes to be disciplined, and also maybe kick some boy butt in the barrio if they need to. Next, Keith. We also participate in the services, both the Haitian and the Dominican church. Pastor Hector always asks me to do the sermon. I say, well, my Spanish is bad, my Creole is even worse. So I usually say a prayer where it's good because everybody's looking down and with their eyes closed and I can read in Spanish. This year, Luke got to play in the band. So Luke's quite a talented drummer. He got to jam with the choir and the band after. There's also a youth service on Tuesdays where our kids got to get involved. There's about 60 kids that came that night. We did some paper, rock, and scissors as well as limbo. And on the evening adult service, we had Kimberly and Gail and Sydney sing a few songs, and they loved it that we went up there and tried one in Spanish and did a couple in English. Next. Working together. So, you know, when we go down there, we're not necessarily a group of engineers or teachers or nurses that have specific trades, but we do like to get involved and help out. So this year, we did a little bit of landscaping project around the school. Keith, you might have to hit next twice here. Where we helped clean up some of the overgrowth of some of the vegetation so they could bring in some aquaponics to help grow some vegetables for the school. So you can see our youth there were pretty excited to get some shovels and pickaxes. Now, the boys even got a little more enthusiastic with the pickaxe when the girls got let out for recess so they could show their muscles. Next, Keith. Playing together is important as well. So wherever we go in the barrio, we feel like we're rock stars. The kids come running out of the houses and the streets, want to hold our hands, want to sit in our laps. So we make sure we always have a parachute or some balls to play with. And if we have nothing, we play the game, how many kids can hang on Tony, which was one of their favorites, which unfortunately, when you start a game like that, there is no way of ending it outside of walking away. Next, Keith. This year, we usually take the team down there to the beach one day. We take the charity, the teachers, our drivers, our translators, the cooks, take them right off campus, take them somewhere where they can just relax and be with us. We did a special fundraiser with the Mountain Fiddlers, and we were able to raise enough money to actually rent a catamaran, where it was just us on the boat for 3 or 4 hours. These folks had never been off the land. Very seldom at the beach they even go in the water because they can't swim. So they were a little reserved when we got on the boat. They kept their life jackets pretty tight. But as you saw in that last picture, it didn't take long before they were enjoying the boat, dancing across the meshing where you could actually see the ocean below as we traveled. And we got to stop twice and actually go in the water. So these folks who had never been in the water were able to put on life jackets, some snorkel masks, and see the fish. And our guide who was with us that day brought a bag of bread and just started underwater, and the fish came by the thousands. So it was quite an experience for them. And they said that, you know, that was one of the best days they've had ever. And it was through our fundraising and helping out in that fiddler event that was able to take them on that. Next, Keith. So it's about serving. When we go down there, we're there to serve in however we can. And one of the things we've done the last 5 or 6 times down is we've had Canada Cooks Night. So when we're down there, we've got a series of cooks and who look after us for our 3 square meals a day, and we certainly don't go hungry when we're down there. But what we do one night, and this was our last night, is we kicked everybody out of the kitchen, we went and got the groceries, and we were going to cook for them. And so they don't usually stray too far because I think they're afraid I'm going to catch myself on fire in the open flame. But that night, next, Keith, we had 60 people come. We had a local person roast a pig for us and cut it up. And if you ever want to make friends with Dominicans or Haitians, just get some roast pork with some lime juice on top. And it was a great evening for us to serve them, being that they look after us so well when we're down there. And it really is about our relationships. You know, when we're down there, we do some work, we bring some money for some projects, but it's forming the relationships that weave our communities together throughout the years. This year, we did a little, dinner's a little different. There's usually 4 families where the ladies prepare our meals and serve us. But what we did this night is we took 4 nights and we had the ladies stay in their homes. We broke into small groups of 3 and we rotated through those 4 homes over 4 nights, where we got to go into their homes and eat with their family, their parents, their children, and a couple neighbors who wandered in because it's open door policy down in the DR. And we got a chance in 4 evenings to get to know our friends even more. And we came out of these relationships and now come back to Canada with Facebook and Instagram and stay connected. And that's what this relationship's about, long-term, weaving our communities with theirs and supporting them however we can. Keith? So this is our youth. I probably don't need to tell you, but our youth rock. This year we had an anonymous donor, and I won't mention who that is, was asking me some questions about how much it costs for the youth to go. And I explained to them that the youth cover their costs, either through their parents or on their own, and it is expensive to go down. The flight itself is about $900. There's no other way to get over there to that island. So this anonymous donor thought she was going to donate some money to give each of the youth a little bit of money to help offset that. So when I brought this up to our team going down, it didn't take long before the youth decided that they didn't necessarily need that money, but they wanted to pool that into a fund and go down to the DR, keeping their eyes and their hearts open, and look for something where that money could go to a better cause than themselves. So when we were down there, next, Keith, this is Fidel. He's one of the food service fellas who works with our team. He's on the scooter probably 5 or 6 times a day driving into the city to bring back bags of ice and bread and food and vegetables. And this is his baby, Jacob. And we knew that they had a new baby, but when we got down there, we found out that baby has a heart murmur. And the baby had been rushed to the hospital a couple times in the previous weeks. But they didn't have the medicine or the health care to look after him. So the youth decided that's where their money was going to go. They've been able to attend a series of appointments, as well as you can see the supplies they bought the day after we left. So I thank the anonymous donor, and I thank our youth. Keith? So, I'm just getting over a cold. My throat's incredibly dry. So Julie asked about what are the changes we witnessed having gone down there 7 times. And the first priority of the Tears charity was education. The kids in the barrio were not going to school. They were left on the streets when the parents went to work. So they started with a small school up in the top left corner here. And over the time, we've seen the elementary school in the top right and now the new high school in the bottom. There's now over 530 kids in the school system that without tears and the support of the charities and the churches across North America, we don't know where they'd be today. One of the great success stories we saw was with the school starting over 15 years ago. There's been a few students that have gone all the way through grade 12, and two of them actually became teachers through college and have come back and are now teaching in the school. Next. Clean water. So when tears started, folks were getting their water from a community water service like you see in the picture here. And what happens is parasites gets into your body. So they've focused on a clean water filtration plant. And now that filtration plant provides school for the church, the water, and also the community at large. So they're able to buy water from the TIERS organization at a lower price than they can buy water at the store. So now the community is drinking cleaner water, much less parasites, much less sickness of the kids in the school. Next, Keith. Nutrition. So when we first went down, the Haitian church didn't have a school, and they started it up. And when we went, there was about a three-hour session, and we noticed the kids were pretty hungry. We noticed that the Dominican school had some breakfast. So next, Keith, we were able to sponsor a breakfast program where they really stretched the dollar. They weren't getting a lot of money per month, but they were buying day-old bread and some cocoa is what they were getting. And sometimes that was the only meal those kids had for the day. But now with the school growing and the high school added and the Dominican government getting involved, the meal program provides both breakfast and lunch for all these 500 kids coming to the school. So we've seen a big difference in nutrition for the children. Community programs. We talked a little bit about those, and Keith, you can just go next through these, from the karate program and the soccer program. And now there's a student who went through the school system, went to college in a marketing and business degree, and now every Tuesday he holds a seminar for adults in the community to come learn about how to be entrepreneurs, how to start their small business, be it sewing or food, and how to plan for profits and what to do to make those successful businesses. So the community outreach that the TIERS program, what we saw 8 years ago to now, has grown immensely. But we've been blessed as well. People always think that we're going down there to save the world. But in the 7 years, we've had over 58 people go down. We've come back a lot tighter community. You'll see our youth that have gone down and how they've grown into young adults. There's Sydney LaFond, and she went down this last year with us. The donkey boy, or Curtis Carlson, when he first went to this year, to Madison Carlson, and how they've grown, and this relationship growing into young adults. This is Maya Povey. Most of you know her. She went down 2 years ago with our team, and she graduated from grade 12 this summer. And she decided to take a year off before going to college. And she went down to the Dominican and is staying in the TIERS facility and spending 6 months down there in the school system. So without this program, without your support to allow us to continue to weave this relationship between our communities, it's really blessed our children here as well, not just theirs. So what's next? So we've got some basic nutrition, we've got education, we've got clean water, and now we're looking at health and wellness as a wholeness for their community. Next, Keith. So last year's team was 2018. The circle around there is Dr. Wayne Chang from Calgary. After a few days, of course, he's looking at what he's seeing through a doctor's eyes, and he started talking to the charity about what do they have for facilities. And they had a doctor coming to the school once a week that would basically tell somebody that they're with this illness or this sickness, give them some idea of a prescription, but would never get filled because they didn't have the money. So we came back with an idea of what can we do around health and wellness. Next, Keith. This might be kind of small for everybody to see. But when we came back, we formed a committee in November of last year to decide how we can work with the TIERS charity in the Dominican to provide some basic health services. In February, the Varsity Bible Church sent a team down doing just a community awareness trip. We didn't go down there telling them what we thought they needed. We just wanted to evaluate and have meetings with the schools, with the teachers, with the community leaders, with the parents. And what we found out, more important than medical, was dental and mental health. So they really wanted us to focus on how can we help with counseling, both with married adults and the children. And dental was a much higher need than medical, because dental never gets looked after for these kids. Once you get a toothache, it's going to hurt until it falls out or it gets pulled out. So we looked at some blueprints. Keith, next. We formed a partnership with Dr. Joe Pham out of Portland, Oregon, whose wife lives in Calgary and goes to varsity. And he got pumped. He got excited. He started a GoFundMe campaign, and he raised about $25,000 US in about 3 weeks. So he flew down there in June, again, continued looking at the dental possibility, meeting with dentists, talking to suppliers. Next, Keith. And we raised about $50,000. So in June, we started the project. Where the arrow is, you'll see, is an empty space above the administrative office where at one time they were thinking of adding a classroom as the high school grew. And that's where the medical health center is going to be, right on campus for the kids. Next, Keith. So with that early fundraising we did, we were able to start the building. Next, Keith. You'll see some of the floors coming in. These are pictures we took in August. So we don't mess around down there. We get laborers going. We get the project going. We've got absolute fantastic leaders at the principal and the TIERS team, and they got going. Next, Keith. So after we got back, some of the metal equipment has arrived. We do have a dentist on staff right now. The equipment's not quite ready to start treating. We're hoping that'll be probably in December, at worst case, January. But the dentist is staying on campus teaching hygiene in classrooms, preparing the kids with just toothbrushes, toothpaste, floss, and getting ready to provide these services. Next, Keith. When we went down, this is Eliza and her daughter Lillian from Ontario. They had some connections with some dental folks, and we were able to bring down some basic supplies to get them started. Next, Keith. So within a year, when we were down there the year before, looking at that top corner, we now have the Health and Wellness Center ready to go. But as I mentioned, we're about $50,000 into about a $95,000 project to have it totally up and running for counseling, for medical, and for dental. So Keith, next. So I'm here to shamelessly plug our fundraising event. You may have seen me with the trifold in the last couple Sundays. We have a concert on November 17th, so two Sundays from now, right here. And we've got lots of front row tickets left. But we're partnering with the Windmill Theater Players. We've done this in the past. They're a performance group out of High River that does dinner theater and evening presentations of what they're putting on. This is their 45th year, so they're celebrating by doing a best of songs over those years. So they're going to come in on Sunday the 17th, which is before their performances start in High River, and they treat it like a final dress rehearsal. But we see them in full song, full costume, a full event, and they don't charge us for their time. We're able to sell tickets and support our charities. So we'll be selling tickets after. Some of you have already bought tickets. Thank you. There will be a silent auction that night. So when you come, if you want to bid on some really cool items we're building up. If you can't come, we're happy to take a donation for the Health and Wellness Center. We're also going to be doing an intermission snacks and coffees. So if you've got some extra goodies left over or you want to bake something, maybe that's Sunday the 17th or before, you can just leave it in the kitchen with concert on it, and we'll use that for the intermission. But this event's always been well attended by our congregation. We look forward to seeing you. Next, Keith. So 2020. So we're looking at going down again this August for our 8th trip. Next, Keith. We're looking in mid-August. It's hot, but we get a chance to work with the kids in school as well. Because, again, we're very much youth-focused. It's hard to take grade 10s, 11s, 12s, or first or second year university and go in February or March where they miss school. We've already got some youth that have already said, we're coming, so we're probably going to stick with August. But we usually take between 12 and 15 travelers. So if you've seen presentations like this in the past and you've thought about, hey, what would it be like to go down and learn a little more, I'll be doing a an information session, probably after service, mid-December, maybe early January. We'll just talk a little bit like we have today about what we do down there, give you some idea on costs. So keep an eye on your bulletin for that date if you're thinking of coming. So on behalf of the team, I'd like to thank you, and let's see if our ending video works. Go ahead, Keith.